Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, and welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm always so excited to talk to my guests. For some reason, I think this talk show has the best guests and some of the most exciting and fulfilling topics that we can find to talk about. So this morning, I'm really excited to welcome a very special guest, a dear friend of mine. And I love when I have folks on the show that I really have a connection with and I know. And today, our show, we're going to be talking about living a full and balanced life with special needs children. And I feel like there's just so much to talk about when you're talking about living a full life, living a balanced life, and having special needs children. So we have 30 minutes for the show, 28 minutes to go, because I'm so long-winded when I'm introducing my guest. So let me just go ahead and once again say good morning and welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Charmaine, and my guest this morning is Joanne Fadlin. I'm going to do my very best in introducing her, but you'd have to see her and be around her to really know all that this woman is. Someone I hold in high esteem. Joanne is a gorgeous wife and mother of four wonderful children, ranging from 16 years old all the way down to a little one, I think about five or six. And I call her just the diva mom, simply because she, in my opinion, does everything and more. And I found that she was probably one of the most fitting guests to have on the show, talking about balancing life with special needs children. So without further ado, I just want to say welcome, Joanne, to the show. How are you doing?
Good morning, my friend. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Well, you know what we're going to be talking about today. And because I've been around you and I've seen you in action and I know some of the awesome things that you do, I thought, who better to talk about this, because I've seen how you make it happen. And it's not just you're talking the talk, but you're also walking the walk. So, Joanne, you have your oldest child, Dee Dee, a girl, 16 years old, was born with special needs, cerebral palsy. So tell us, when did you find out and what went through your mind when you found out you're now married and pregnant with your first child and she's going to have cerebral palsy?
Well, we found out after she was born. The doctors told us, because she came very early. She was 29 weeks. She weighed 2 pounds, very small, pretty much fits in the palm of your hand. Gorgeous baby. We were so excited to have her. And the doctors pretty much told us, hey, you know, she's going to have a disability, and they're not sure at what age it will present itself, but they knew that she had a brain damage, and they told us she had a loss of oxygen to the brain, and so that will present itself in different ways, which happened to be cerebral palsy. Of course, we were in shock, but we knew with her being born so young that there's a possibility that she would have problems. We weren't sure to what extent. The question is, why? There's really no answer to that. We just knew that as parents, we needed to be there for her and to give her all the love and care that we as her parents could possibly give.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you found out, I'm assuming that it's devastating to you as a young woman, a young wife, a young mom, having your first child, None of us, when we get married or when we get pregnant, when we start to raise a family or look forward to raise a family, we don't really think about what if we don't have a healthy baby. I think all my three pregnancies with three healthy boys, I've never thought, what if they're not healthy? Because every woman who gets pregnant assumes, I'm going to have a healthy, happy baby. And so it must have been a devastating blow emotionally. How did you guys, you know, handle that as a couple? And how did you kind of get over that emotional hump to now go on, or to then go on and have three more children?
Well, at first we were in shock, like I said, and we cried, mm-hmm. we prayed, and I never looked at it as a devastation to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing because of my faith, I didn't go there. So I just knew that this was my baby. She needed me. And we needed to be there for her, and we needed to do everything possible to make her thrive. So I was there at the hospital every single day. I never missed a day. I was hands-on mm-hmm. with her. I would go into the NICU. She was tiny, so tiny. I would take her out. At first, I was so scared to pick her up, mm-hmm. and the doctor said, oh, don't worry about it, she'll be fine, you're not going to hurt her. And once I held her in my arms, it just everything just came naturally. And I took care, we gave her her bath. My husband, of course, he had to work, so what we did, we would take turns. I would be there from 9 in the morning until 7, and most of the time that's when the nurses are switching over to the next shift. So mm-hmm. we would wait together and then go in. He would hold her. We'll do kangaroo care, which means placing the baby on your bare chest and just kind of snuggling so that they can feel your mm-hmm. heartbeat, feel your warmth. And we will be there until about 11 at night, and then we'll leave and start it all over again. But throughout the throughout the process, we were there for each other. I was his mm-hmm. rock, he was mine, and we got through it. It's hard, but as a parent, you realize that this is your child, and you need to be there for them.
Right, and I think that's the thing with parenting and being a mother, and feeling that, you know, we have to embrace everything, because even whether you have a child with special needs or not, if we don't embrace our children, then they will feel left out. And even though she may not be able to communicate verbally or whatever, you know, the child will sense that. So just that kangaroo care, feeling your warmth, expressing yourself, and knowing that you're transferring that heart of love to that child, mm-hmm. and they know it, and you know that back. So I mean, I really appreciate you telling us a little bit. I'm listening as if I'm talking to you for the very first time in my life, because I know even though we have a really great relationship and a great friendship, and we know each other and respect each other in our parenting and what we do for our families and our children and as wives, but yet we have a life outside of being a caretaker. Sometimes whether we have special needs or children that just need a lot, which is all children, no matter what, we as moms tend to feel that 24-hour obligation to give. And so we will get to that breaking point, you know quite well, if we don't find that balance. So let's go into that part, because it really is about knowing what our situation is, what our circumstances is, and what's given to us, what's presented to us. But everything in life is about perspective and how we balance it and how we deal with it. Whether it's a child, whether it's a spouse who's going through an illness, whether it's a parent, an elderly parent that needs help or whatever, each of us have someone in our lives that is close to us, whether now, in the past, or in the future, that is going to be living with that special need for us to be there. So how do we create balance? How do we become more well-rounded? How do we, as women, being Women's Month, and I want to, you know, really address a lot of these issues during this month, how do we as women create balance? Let's talk about that. What do you do?
Well, for me personally, I try to make time for myself. And it may sound selfish, but it really isn't. Because it starts with you. And if you're not taking care of yourself and finding that time, just it may be a quiet moment. It may be just going out to get your nails done. Grocery shopping by yourself, not necessarily having all the children with you, just
right.
That quiet time. I try to do that for me. For me personally, I go to the gym, I work out.
Because you look fabulous.
Thank you. I try. That's for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do for myself. For someone else, it may be different.
Right.
You know, they may want to go. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and I really think that is a critical component, is self first. And you said that earlier when you started, that it may sound selfish. And for a lot of people, they feel guilty. A lot of moms.
Yes.
Feel really guilty if they don't feel like they turn into, you know, Mother Teresa. You know, they feel
yeah.
like I have to be grinding around the clock to prove that I love my family. When in essence, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're actually showing
we
that
can't.
We don't care about them, because we can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't have that strength to take care of anyone else. So...
Exactly.
You have to have that balance to be able to give more.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anything
Absolutely.
To give, then you can't give anymore.
You can't, and we get beat down and we get downtrodden, and you know, we're young moms in our 20s. Just kidding, but you know, we get it's so easy. I see so many women and mothers, and even women that are not mothers. I look at them and I'm thinking, when did you get so old? Are we the same age? You know,
mm-hmm.
and it really feels
mm-hmm.
like we're not. Like literally putting ourselves on top of our list. So
yeah. And I always
that's
get this all the time. And I always get
mm-hmm.
this all the time from friends and people who I family, sometimes people who I don't know. They're like, how do you do it? You know, how are you able to cope? And I keep telling people, I said, this is my normal. So
mm-hmm.
the way I would take care of my family is not necessarily the way that you would yours. You know,
right.
that's my normalcy. So.
And then I think that also, like you said, when people from the outside, they will look and they'll think, well, like I said, how do you do it? And whatever becomes normal for us is what we create through habit. What we create through having a schedule, what we create through having a balance, and that's so important because, like you said, taking time for yourself, making sure when all the kids get off to school, that you get yourself in the gym, or you, you know, schedule your pampering time or, you know, lunch with your friends, whatever, or, you know, whatever hobby or volunteer, whatever it is that you do to fill in that other time, because you know that when that school bus comes at 2 and you have to get your 16-year-old daughter in a wheelchair off that bus, that's it for the rest of your day until your husband comes home from work, and then you have your routine. So if we're just constantly plugging away at, oh, as soon as they're gone, we're like killing ourselves with laundry in the house and all that, I mean, that's going to happen. But I always say, you know what, that can wait.
Some things can be left on hold. Some things can be put on hold. It's going to still be there tomorrow.
Exactly. And if you don't add to the pile of clothes, it'll just still be there tomorrow, just maybe a bigger pile. But you'll eventually get to it. And I personally feel like if I'm not in the mood to do housework or whatever, I'm not going to force myself to do it, because then I'm going to be doing it grumbling and complaining. So I'll do it when I very well plan on doing it and I'm in the right space and the right frame of mind. So now picking up and doing laundry or cleaning bathroom becomes something exciting versus, oh, my God, I hate to do this. I don't want to do this right now. I'd rather be having lunch with the girls, or I'd rather be taking a walk at the park. So self, like you said, is very important, making time for you. I think the second one, what would you say would be the second one, making time? I think you mentioned that, making time for each other, your spouse.
Yes, making time for each other, making time for your spouse, making time for your girlfriend, you know, because even though we're talking about raising children, there are some families who may be together, but they're not married, but they're still together. And so you have to find that time for each other. And sometimes having children, it's not easy always being able to get away and be together by yourself. So you have to create that alone time at home, whether that be sending the kids to bed early. Tonight is going to be mommy and daddy time. You guys are going to bed early. They don't even have to know sometimes. You just get them ready for bed, and you close the door, and you spend that time, whether it be watching a movie, just talking about your day, because you realize that dads are the ones that have special needs children also, not only the moms. And even though you may be having a difficult day and he may be having a difficult day.
And I think
so that time that you do come together is that time that you address those things with each other.
And I like how you brought that up, because as mothers, we feel like, okay, I'm the mother, it's my responsibility. And I feel like the guys feel it so much more. And like you were saying, just understanding where your significant other is coming from, whoever is the main physical caretaker at home during the day, needs also to understand that emotionally it does wear on the husband that's coming home, because while you have your outlets during the day, the gym, the girlfriends, the nails, the this, they're at work. And, you know, for a lot of them, a lot of the guys who can't afford to have, you know, mom stay home and raise a family, meaning that they have stressful jobs, you know, because they got to be able to handle the financial burden of the entire family. On top of that, they're coming home and they're feeling the responsibility of, okay, it's kind of like my turn, but I'm exhausted, you know?
And that's so, why like I try to make things light for my husband when he comes in. By the time he comes home, dinner is prepared, kids have done homework, the house is clean. So when he comes in, all he has to do is just come in, put his bags down, relax. Whether that be watching he's into soccer, watching his soccer game. And I leave him alone. I give him that time to himself. Because I want him to feel as though he can come home. I want him to feel as though he can come home and be at peace and not come home and everything is in confusion. And so he's had a stressful day and now he's home and he's going to have another stressful day. Not that sometimes the home is not chaotic, but you try as much as possible to look out for each other.
Or at least creating that space of silence where even though, you know, we may be stepping over stuff, but or, you know, dinner didn't get prepared or whatever, but it's not like you're not always rushing around to still try to be super mom, because now they feel worse that you're still trying to be super mom, and they want to say, well, honey, sit down, relax, because now we're showing them what we actually do when they're not home, and they're feeling like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, and they take it all like I should be doing this. So even if they're, even if stuff is physically out of place, but the peace when they come in is your peace, like you're being calm, you know, because we all understand we have kids, they come home from school, they drop their bags, they go outside to play, there's homework to be done, you know, and sometimes I know in my case, because I'm typically the one to get home after everyone else, you know, I'm just like, what did you guys have for dinner? Was it pizza? Was it burger? Did Dad make his special stir-fried rice today? Or did you all eat what Grandma cooked, you know? So in some ways, the balance is what makes you feel at peace at home, you know, and that, and making time for each other. I know, for instance, like I said, you know, there are times when one person, well, in you know, in separate cases, when we have special needs children or just families, in finding that balance with each other, I know for us, one of the newer things is like, you know, making sure we have time for date night, whether it's like we're just watching CNN for 2 hours, just us chilling or whatever, you know. And then, you know, if the kids want something, they know that, you know, we're hanging out together. Interrupt only if you must, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, like you said, making time for that social life.
Absolutely.
And making time for others.
It's only in the last, I think, 2 years that we've been able to kind of go out and have that date night, just him and I. And it feels so good. It feels so good. Sometimes you feel guilty about not having the kids there. But you realize that when you create that time for each other, you realize that it makes you a better couple. It makes you a better wife. It makes you a better husband. Because once you're distressed, you reconnect, you have that reconnection with each other. You're able to go home and be a little bit more calmer with the kids, be more attentive and not always so flustered, you know.
And I think too, with guys, they do enjoy that variety or that different place of being. It may not seem like that a lot, because I know, like, my husband would rather be watching soccer or watching CNN while he's on the laptop doing invoices, you know, running the business, booking stuff, different things like that, you know, taking a break or whatever, because he's got to get back out on the road or whatever. So balancing is not just balancing within the relationship, the intimacy part and the connection part, but it's also allowing each individual to balance what they have going on in their own lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you should all, and apart from your spouse, make time for your friends, because you realize that your friends are always going to be there for you also. Whether you have two friends, one friend, they are going to be there. This is somebody that you can call, rely on if there's any issues that you have in. You need the kids to be picked up from school one day that you you know, you may be at an appointment and you can't make it back in time. You know, you have those friends around you that are reliable. Join a focus group. There's so many focus groups out there that are geared towards parents with special needs. And you may think that you are the only person that's going through this situation. And you realize that, hey, there are other people out there that I can talk to that have similar circumstances like I did, whether that be a church family, you may find somebody at church that you connect with.
Right.
And you share your situation with them, and you realize that, hey, I've developed a friendship with another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So try to find that time.
Go ahead, the commonality within those support groups, because just like you're saying, it's not just all about that emotional support. It's building relationships, whether it's the support group with parents of special needs children, or just finding your own, you know, relationships, building your own friendships, groups and things that you are interested in, like whether it's your
exactly.
hobby, your talent, your skill, volunteering, whatever, just different social environments. Because like you said, when you have to balance your family, regardless of a child having special needs or not, that is so key. Like you said, I may be somewhere else with, you know, at one person's appointment, and I need the neighbor to check in, make sure when the school bus comes that they're in the house, or, you know, just yeah. different things where you're going to need to, you know, look out for each other. And that's part of having a healthy, balanced family life.
Yeah. And you may have smaller children, so you may not be able to get out as much as you would like. Now, the mm-hmm. finding a group, you know, you'll be able to make connections where you may be able to find someone that can come in one day, spend
mm-hmm.
maybe 2 or 3 hours, and kind of a respite for you. So you're able
exactly.
to kind of get out and take care of some things that you wouldn't be able to get out because you have all the kids with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps. It really does help. And for me personally, I've been able to take all these things and over the years just make things better for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it will work for everyone, but
right.
I know for me personally, I've been able to, that's how I've been able to balance and pretty much structure my life.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this has totally been a really interesting conversation, really good topic. I really love it. I love the tips that you've given. So important because so many couples fall apart when in their minds, this isn't normal. I have a special needs child. The stress that comes with balancing everything and the selflessness that comes with it, but also the selfishness that we must interject and have for ourselves. You've been married for a number of years, 16, and with four
15
children,
years.
16, yeah, 15 years,
yeah.
and staying together. And like you said, over the last couple of years, and I find that myself as I get older, or as you, you know, take a peek on the other side, you're more grateful for your spouse and your family. You have a heightened sense of, you know what, we've got to, like, get this thing back like glue, you know, and finding
yeah.
that time where it's just the two of you, because you have your family that you're raising, but you need that intimacy. You need the time for self. You need time for each other, and you need that time to have a social life, to literally have a life. Joanne, this was so fabulous talking with you. We've got 90 seconds left on the show, so I'm going to let you go ahead and have the last word. But before you do, I just want to say thank you to you. Thank you to you, my guest, for being on the show. And thank you for listening to The Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a fantastic morning. I'm hanging out with my special guest, Joanne Fadelin. So I'm going to let you go ahead, Joanne, and just wrap us up for the last minute of the show.
I just want to say thank you for having me on your show today. I was really excited when you called me and asked me to be a guest. And I just want to say thank you. And if this can help a parent who is actually
mm-hmm.
going through this right now, who's listening to this show and feel as if they are so overwhelmed that, you know, they can't really make sense out of everything that's going on
mm-hmm.
in their life, just follow those 3 steps. It may not be 3 steps for you. It may just be one. Take
Absolutely.
time out.
Just take time out. And on
take time
that,
out.
Absolutely. And on that note, we have 10 seconds to wrap up our show. I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine. And I hope you will join us again for another exciting show where we will have a fabulous topic. I'm excited about the next show. We will talk about women and sexuality. Thank you so much for joining. Have a great day.